This message comes from NPR sponsor REI Co-op. REI has gear, clothing, classes, and advice for camping and glamping, biking and hiking, axing and snacksing. Visit your local REI Co-op or REI.com for the million and one ways to opt outside.
TV Rain was Russia's last remaining independent TV station. They went off the air this month. The last words before the program ended, no to war. Definitely no to war. Then the hosts left their set. Many of the station's journalists fled Russia after that, including Tihon Zudko, the editor-in-chief. He and his family went to Tbilisi, Georgia, where my co-host Mary Louise Kelly spoke with him last week. He is one of the tens of thousands of Russians who have fled since the start of the war.
I think all what is happening is absolutely unpredictable. 1 month ago, we lived in a different world. I was sure that war was not going to happen.
Even though TV Rain, as he knew it, is over, Zudko still feels a responsibility to continue to report out the news.
We have to continue spreading information and truth to Russians and the Russian-speaking audience. We don't know where. We don't know how, we don't know when, but definitely sooner or later, rather sooner than later, we will continue broadcasting.
Since arriving in Tbilisi, he and his wife have started a YouTube channel. He's not sure if reporting from outside Russia will pose a risk to their safety, but he's trying not to think about the potential consequences right now. Instead, he's thinking about how to get the news and the truth of what's happening to Russian people back home.
A lot of people in Russia are brainwashed by the propaganda, and a lot of people in Russia, unfortunately, don't understand what is actually happening in Ukraine or in Russia or in the world. It is our role now to try to reach out to every citizen of Russia, telling them that black is still black, white is still white, because unfortunately, Russian government wants them to think black could be red or black could be blue, that war is not a war, that the Russian army is succeeding there.
And while Zudko is thinking about his homeland from a neighboring country, wondering if and when it'll be safe to return, consider this. It is not an entirely unfamiliar moment. Tens of thousands of Russians have fled from their own government in the last month, many to Georgia, a nation that still acutely feels the aftermath from when Russia invaded in 2008. From NPR, I'm Ailsa Chang. It's Monday, March 28th.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles on everything you buy. Plus, get access to a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Details at CapitalOne.com.
This message comes from NPR sponsor BetterHelp. When you keep your stress bottled up, it can eat away at you. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to make them better. Try BetterHelp Online Therapy, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp at BetterHelp.com/NPR today to get 10% off your first month.
It's Consider This from NPR. More than 30,000 Russians have arrived in the country of Georgia since Russia invaded Ukraine, fleeing from their own government. While some of them have since moved on, many say they are staying. But taking in refugees brings up complicated feelings for many Georgians. Russia occupies 20% of Georgian territory, and Russian troops creep in on more territory by pushing their borders on foot. And so many Georgians still mourn loved ones who died when Russia invaded back in 2008. Here's Georgian security expert Natia Siskoria.
It's 2022, and there are still ongoing tensions, and we are facing very, very serious threat. And unfortunately, what we see today is just, I think it's just a continuation of what Russia has been doing in Georgia for many, many years.
Many of the Russians that have stayed in Georgia say it is not safe to go back, and that they're angry with what their country is doing. My co-host Mary Louise Kelly reported from Tbilisi last week, where she spoke with several of them.
We're going to spend these next few minutes sharing the stories of three Russians we have met here in Tbilisi, starting with Alexei Voloshinov. He's the youngest of the people you're about to meet, just 20. But we're starting with him because we can share where his story begins, back in Moscow. This is Alexei walking through the botanical gardens, what Russians call the pharmacy garden, central Moscow on March 4th.
It feels like real not real. I still cannot believe that tomorrow I'm going to leave my country, maybe for my whole life. I hope not, but this is a possible option.
He says this was not a move of choice, that as a young journalist, he was afraid to stay in Russia. And as a young man, he was scared of getting drafted to fight against Ukraine.
But still, I would really like to come back one day to the great Russia of future. Future great Russia, yeah.
Just a little over 2 weeks later, we meet up with Alexei at a park, this time here in Tbilisi.
Hello.
Hi, Alexei.
We walk together to a cafe to get out of the rain, and I ask if he's managed to pick up much Georgian yet. Having just arrived myself, I am finding the language and its alphabet beautiful, but hard.
I know. Гамарджоба, мадлоба.
That's hello, and thank you.
I know тхо, this is yes. And I know Ara, this is no. Yeah, so...
That's the beginning.
Yeah.
In the cafe, over plates of salty Georgian cheese and walnuts, I ask Alexei what happened after he left Moscow.
Well, the thing is, I didn't have any plans.
First, he flew to Armenia, where he thought he would stay for a bit.
Then, after just 2 or 3 days, my father called me and said that police was looking for me in Moscow. And that day, I decided to leave Armenia and move to Georgia because there is no extradition from here.
Did you know anyone in Tbilisi?
Well, no.
He met other Russians here. They went apartment hunting, something that has gotten really hard to do in recent days. There's the fact that rents are going up because the market is flooded with Russian house hunters. And there's the fact that not everyone wants to rent to Russians, given Georgia's complicated history with its giant neighbor. The first apartment Alexei tried to rent.
The host has asked us if we're Russians. We said yes, and she said that she cannot give us this place to live because the Russian soldiers have killed her son in 2008 during the war between Russia and Georgia. So this is really understandable.
They finally found a place. Alexei says he's looking for a job, starting to feel settled.
After I left the country, it was the first time I could sleep and eat normal.
So worried.
Yeah.
Would you like to go back, though? Do
yes,
you want to live back in Russia?
Of course. Of course, yes. The first possibility, after the Putin's regime is going to fall, I will come back, like, the next day.
We've arranged our next interview at a pub called the Black Lion, over pots of steaming tea. Lev Kalashnikov, like the gun, also just arrived in Tbilisi from Moscow early March. He's already a mover and shaker in the exile community here. He's a tech entrepreneur trying to help other entrepreneurs set up shop, move their businesses here. He says Tbilisi is hotter than anywhere right now, partly thanks to so many Russians with ambition and money pouring in. But it's tricky trying to navigate bureaucracy, paperwork, all in another language. He tells us the story of his second day here. He was standing in a huge line trying to buy a SIM card.
And in the line, there was 50 people in front of me and 50 after me. And I was looking around and I'm saying, wow, I did this step before. I can share my experience with these people.
So he created a channel on the Telegram messaging app, which everybody here seems to use. A chat room, basically, that people could join by scanning a QR code.
And started showing to people around me.
In the line, you created this QR code.
Yeah, when I left this place, it was like 30 people in the chat. And later that day, it was 200. Next day, it was 700 people.
It kept growing. Some 5,000 people are following that Telegram channel now, swapping tips on all kinds of stuff.
Mainly are people asking about how to transfer money. 15% of people are asking about schools and kindergarten. Many asking about how is it going on the land border to cross over lands.
Lev now runs several Telegram channels for Russians coming to Georgia. He says he is constantly fielding questions that he tries to answer, even when he can't help. Like a recent message he got from a man in Russian-controlled Crimea, whose wife is stuck in the war in southern Ukraine.
This guy sends me a message that she got very ill, and there is a fighting on the streets and the bombs are going on. I don't know what to do with that. What can I do with that? But for some reason people are texting me this. And I cannot help it.
His voice breaks. His eyes well up with tears. He reaches for his tea, takes a long breath.
Every single message that I get is a tragedy.
Our final stop for the evening is a hole-in-the-wall bar in old Tbilisi. It's called Ploho Bar. Ploho means bad in Russian. A dozen or so people pack into this tiny space, all speaking Russian, chugging beers, taking shots of vodka. The walls are scrawled with marker, Russian sayings, crude drawings. 23-year-old Nastasia Dubovitskaya just left Moscow a week ago. She's working tonight behind the bar, pulling beers.
I wanted to go to rallies after the war started, but I knew that it would be more dangerous.
Nastasia says she was detained for 7 days for attending a rally. She believes if she had stayed in Russia and kept protesting, she wouldn't be out so soon.
I just decided to go here because I knew that I can help Ukraine and Ukrainians here better than from Russia.
She points to a Ukrainian flag hanging on the wall. Next to it, a QR code for a website to donate money to the Ukrainian army. Nastasia says she's saving money to donate. It's part of the reason she's working here at the bar. But it's hard, she says. Her last day in Moscow, she went to see her dad. He's still there.
We talked a lot, and I've seen him crying for the first time in my life because he was so worried, and he said that there is no future in Russia. Just run and find something new.
No future in Russia, so just run, find something new. So she did, one of tens of thousands of Russians who have run from their country since it invaded Ukraine nearly 1 month ago.
That was my co-host, Mary Louise Kelly, reporting from Georgia last week. It's Consider This from NPR. I'm Ilse Chang.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sell without needing to code or design. Just bring your best ideas and Shopify will help you open up shop. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/NPR. This message comes from NPR sponsor Capella University. With Capella's FlexPath learning format, you can earn your degree online at your own pace and get support from people who care about your success. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
On the TED Radio Hour, researcher Sasha Lucioni says AI can help us find climate solutions. But just training the technology itself uses a ton of energy.
Training ChatGPT, for instance, emits as much carbon as 5 cars in their lifetime.
Tech's Climate Conundrum. That's on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.